Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Hey guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. You know, things are going good. War is raging on all over the earth. And so we're 100% willing to interview anyone except for Russians, because you're despicable, just really trash people. I'm just trying to connect with the vibe of the world. So we have a stranger here today, Matthew Boyle.
That is me, yes.
That is a smooth voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're like a white Barry White. Has anyone told you that before?
Many times.
Yeah,
daily.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so some of the facts I have about you, right off the bat, I'm like, this has got to be a hell of a story.
Some wild shit, yeah, for sure.
We've never had anyone who tried to cut off someone's finger, dead or alive. So let's start with why was he dead, and why were you with this dead person?
Okay, why was he dead? I have no idea. But
you found him dead.
I found him dead in a mortuary.
Okay.
Yeah, I had broken in there like a year earlier with a friend's little brother. We sprayed the place up with like the fire hydrant in there, the fire extinguisher, and then this night I was with a bunch of my friends. We were all on acid. And
nice.
I was like, I remember that the third hearse door was unlocked when I had gone there a year before. So I was like, we should go check it out. And it was still unlocked.
When you're on acid, this is the kind of stuff that makes sense.
I mean, like, you know, whether it made sense or not, I mean, it made sense to me. Yeah. I'm not sure how much sense it made for everybody else, but they followed me in there. So,
yeah.
So we made it in, and in the first big room where they keep all the hearses, they've got the big walk-in refrigerator where they keep dead bodies. The year before, there was no dead bodies in there. There was nothing, just a bunch of shit, you know? So we opened up the first door, and there was like a 90-year-old guy under a rubber sheet. We pulled it back, and he was dead. And the girl started freaking out a little bit. I went into the next room, these two big oak double doors, and couldn't find the light switch, but walked about, I don't know, 20, 30 feet across the room in pitch dark, but I was like barely able to make out the shape of a little dead baby on a on like the metal slab or whatever, you know.
Jeez, okay.
And I was like, guys, I was like, dude, I think this is a fucking dead baby in here. And they were already freaking out from the old guy.
Yeah.
So we left pretty quickly, and we get back to my friend's apartment, and somebody dared me. Long story short, they're like, oh, Matt will fucking do anything crazy, blah, blah, blah. And
like, you have a reputation to live up to, so yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think so, yeah. So I was like, yeah, fucking dare me to do whatever. And they're like, go cut that fucking dead guy's finger off. And I was like, all right, well, I'll do it if somebody comes and holds open the refrigerator door. I don't want to get locked in there with this guy, you know?
Smart.
So I don't think I would have gotten locked in there. I'm sure they have, like, you know.
Listen, that's not a scenario yet. You want to get trapped
still,
in, though. You definitely
want to. It was an excuse to not go alone.
Yeah, you want to really cover those bases, yeah, so, for sure.
But we went there. We took a paper bag and, like, a yellow dish glove, just a dishwashing glove and a steak knife. And I went and sawed away at his finger for, like, 30, 45 seconds. And then I was like, look, like, I did the dare. His finger's not coming off. I wasn't even anywhere
near. Can't get
near.
Through the bone.
No, I'm not getting through the bone with this fucking shitty steak knife. And,
right.
But I was like,
we've
but
all been
I'm
there.
Down. I'm yeah. down. So so that was that. And then we went through, and it was indeed a dead baby in the next room, like probably a month or 3 months old, something like that, already cut open, pretty wild. And we're on acid, and I'm like, this could have been my baby brother, you know? And like, oh, and like my friend's like, don't start freaking out on me, bro. I'm like, no. But anyways, yeah. That was that night. Yeah. So
I mean, I feel like if I'm on acid, abandoned, closed mortuary is one of the last places that I want to go to.
I mean,
typically on hallucinogenics, I go for a more positive vibe.
Sure. Yeah.
But at the same time, I once tried it at a Fish concert and
fuck
wished
yeah.
I was at a mortuary.
Oh, really? So, oh, man. I had so much fun at the Fish concert.
I was never a fan of Fish. I just thought, you know, I was in college and I thought, you know, drugs are great. So maybe I should go do this. I know they love drugs there. And I had a terrible time. I don't know why. I literally got mad, and like an hour in, I was like, if I see another hippie, I'm going to fucking lose
it's
it.
All hippie.
And my friends were like, dude, we're at a Fish concert.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe you should just sit down. I'm like, oh, sit down amongst hippies? But yeah, it was fun.
Right.
The car ride home, I was definitely starting to feel better, but I can't imagine how seeing a dead body into those.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do a lot of hallucinogenics, and lately there's been a resurgence in my life and my kids. I got four daughters, and we took some mushrooms on Halloween, their first time. All wow. of my teenage girls. We took like half a chocolate bar, so about half of an eighth or a little more than that, and went to this immersive art experience in L.A. that we stumbled upon. I just took a full bar a couple nights ago, and it was the wildest shit that I've done since I was a teenager. Honestly, I haven't tripped like that since I was a kid, and yeah, it was fucking, it's great. I mean, I recommend it to everybody. I mean, I was in Puerto Vallarta, and I did it with a couple of girls, and immediately, actually, we kind of knew what we were in for, at least I thought so. As soon as they kicked in, and I was like, all right, get ready, this shit's going to be fucking crazy. The girl's friend that I was with started to like get really paranoid immediately as soon as they kicked in, and then they just fucking ditched me, and I was like, bro, that's not cool. Like, I'm going to sit here and look at my hotel walls all night?
Solo,
and,
yeah.
They're very apologetic, but... I had to call my ex and be like, bro, I'm so fucked up. I got to talk to somebody, you know? And, yeah, so. Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'm 42.
And how old were you when the mortuary story was going on?
That was 94. I was 14. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, 14-year-old on hallucinogenic hijinks.
It was a wild year, bro.
Yeah.
It was a crazy year.
Yeah, because I see here you robbed a Circle K at knife point at age 14.
Same
so that
year.
Year was
same year. Yeah.
This is after the mortuary
that
incident?
Was before the mortuary,
okay.
Actually, yeah. So
so you're on meth.
I dabbled with meth for a moment, yeah.
Okay.
And it was pretty, like, it just kind of, Maricopa County in Arizona, it was like in the 90s, we were the number one. I mean, we didn't keep that title for long, but...
That's Phoenix area?
Phoenix area,
okay.
Yeah, Mesa. But, you know, all of the popular kids were doing meth, like the football team, all getting straight A's, and they were all doing meth, and... yeah, and I was just kind of like this outlier, whatever, kind of a dork, but kind of edgy, and
listen,
somehow
I'm
made
gonna,
it into
yeah,
the
Yeah, I'm
going to
tell
cool
you right
crowd.
Now,
yeah.
You're a lot cooler than most dorks, just based on the breaking into mortuary
I mean,
story.
It was like the Steve-O, you know, early
yeah,
Steve-O type shit,
that.
You know?
Okay.
But, yeah, so I dabbled with meth, and I had to pay somebody like $40 or some shit for some meth, and I didn't have the money, and somebody was just like, you should rob a Circle K. And I was like, I'll fucking do it, and I did. And I literally got $39, and I mean, I scrounged up another dollar of change to pay this guy, and it was pretty bad. I mean, I went in there, it was an old Japanese guy, and... I like had a bandana on, and I walked in, and I had my knife, and it was like 2 a.m., and I like tried to disguise my voice. I'm like, put your fucking hands up. Give me the fucking money. And he's like, he doesn't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I tried, like, I was so scattered. I'm like trying to cut phone lines and fucking whatever, just all over the place. And he gave me the money, and I fucking was like immediately full of adrenaline and throwing up like in my mouth, and went and jumped some fences. I didn't get caught. I mean, I did a lot of shit like this at that age and rarely got caught. Very luckily, yes. Yeah. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Father of four teenage girls. So
wonderful girls. My best friends.
They're all four teenagers? I mean, that's pretty consistent.
Yeah. Their mom. I've got four kids from one baby mama. Yeah.
Okay.
She's in Salt Lake. My oldest is 19. I've got one that's going to turn 17, and my twins will turn 16 here.
Wow.
And we're all headed. I was going to go to Thailand tonight. I skipped the flight to be here. Didn't work out, but I'll go tomorrow. I'm there for a month. We come back. We go straight to Colombia with my girls, and so we'll celebrate my 17-year-old's 17th birthday there. And can't fucking wait. Never been there. So,
well, so why do you travel? Is there? Do you work? Or
not
is
really.
It just...
Not now. I had a restaurant in Redondo. I sold that, and was a lot of stress.
How long were you in Redondo?
I'm still in Redondo.
How long was the restaurant open?
Year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. So right there, I don't know how familiar anybody is.
I lived in Manhattan Beach for several
years.
We're
on Esplanade. So. We're there on Catalina, actually. So, oh, okay. So as close as you can be to the beach. And yeah, we were also kind of that wild restaurant. I don't think that I was like super welcomed there by other restaurateurs or businesses. Yeah. We stayed open during COVID. I just kind of like, we were going to lose the place. We opened right before COVID and, you know, it was just bad timing. And I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to close. So we just started doing live music during the middle of the pandemic outside, just like fucking not trying to give a fuck you to the system, but... But we got a lot of people that just assumed that I was a Trumper. They just assumed. They never asked, and I just didn't confirm or deny.
Yeah.
And but we got a lot of support from the community. The cops never fucked with us. The cops were on our side. And then it got to be, like, fights here and there, and then it got to be fights every night, and then a fucking gun went off. And on Catalina and Redondo, that shit doesn't happen. You know what I mean? So I was, like, absolutely ready to get out of the business. We did all right. Somebody came in and said, hey, I can sell your restaurant for blah, blah, blah. And like, and I was like, cool, let's do it. And literally the next day, Mickey's Deli, if you know that place, they bought my place. And they've got a new taco place out there. Yeah, I think they're doing well.
So, nice.
Yeah.
And it was what kind of restaurant was your restaurant?
Mine was like kind of a Southern Cajun fusion, a little bit of Thai, a little bit of Middle Eastern. My stepdad's from Iran. My ex-wife is from Thailand. That's where I spend most of my time is Thailand. And so, but I love to cook and, yeah, kind of a mixture, but healthy Southern fusion. Yeah. Kind of okay. Weird. Yeah. So.
All right. And, so what's the Thailand? I mean, based on the stories I've heard so far, I'm guessing in Thailand, it's not a sober experience.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm going through minimum 2 bottles of whatever alcohol I'm doing out there, usually Thai whiskey, and that's normal wherever I'm at. I'll go through 2 bottles a day. Yeah. So I'm clearly
nice,
some kind of an alcoholic, but I don't drink here is the thing. I come back and I did drink some tequila today, but I just got back from Mexico. So it was like,
if you just got back from Mexico, then you're basically still in Mexico.
Right. That's basically it. Yeah. So,
all right, and so you married a girl from Thailand,
right?
Like 90-day fiancé.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
I don't honestly even know. I've never seen
here
that.
She is. This is the one, yeah.
This is her? Okay.
This is Lalita. Yeah, Apple is her real name, but yeah.
So where, how does that happen? How do you work that out?
Well, I went out there to like just kind of like went to this boot camp to stay fit, you know, because it's like 10 grand in the US and it's like 3 grand out there, all inclusive. And was talking to a few girls on just like dating sites / like Facebook kind of stuff, and saw her and, you know, immediately was like, oh my God, she's so hot. I have to fuck this girl. I have to fucking do that. I didn't think it would happen. I still think she's out of my league. We're literally waiting on like the divorce papers to be final. We've been waiting for so long, but we're still cool. And obviously she gave me a ride here tonight. Yeah. So
nice.
But yeah, I mean, how's that work? I mean, somebody else kind of told me, hey, do this 90-day fiance thing. And so we went through all the interviews and they interviewed all my kids and then all of my friends and my siblings' friends. And they wanted me to wait until the next season, which I wasn't willing to do because they want to like get the person walking into the airport and get that initial reaction. And I didn't want to wait that long. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you were actually trying to get on the show and then you're like,
I mean, we were considering it, but also the money's shit. It's like 3 grand a season, I think, for starters. It's garbage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So fuck that. I mean,
yeah. All those reality shows just try and,
I mean, I think if you get a spinoff, you can do all right. Yeah. But,
yeah.
Maybe. But
the Bachelor people always
say
that.
Maybe next time. I might do it again. So,
I like it.
Yeah.
So you grew up where?
Mostly Mesa, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. You were an Arizona kid
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
And then while you're 14 and hijinks is ensuing, what's your family situation like?
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, my biological father died before I was born, so that was an issue growing up. My dad, the guy that I call my dad, my stepdad is from Iran, like I said, so pretty, like, just brutal punishment. I mean, I got the fuck beat out of me. He beat the fuck out of my sister, my older sister. And, you know, my mom, you know, whatever, and protect me or anything like that. So I don't want to get too heavy unless you want me to. But yeah, I mean, I was an angry, angry young kid and constantly just lashing out and looking for a way to whatever, to not have to deal with reality and shit like that.
So, yeah.
But yeah, pretty bad. I mean, I was in and out of jail. I mean, at 12, I went to jail for my first time, and then I probably went to jail another, arrested probably 40 times before I was 18.
Wow. What kind of things we got on the
mostly docket? Bullshit. Mostly like, breaking curfew and violating probation. It was mostly bullshit.
Oh, right.
Because
once you get arrested, then
once you're there, it's just a snowball
effect.
Then the
system.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, as far as like actual charges of crimes that I committed, it was like fighting with my sister, fighting with my mom. So it would be assault,
domestic
and shit
violence,
like that. Domestic violence, kind of criminal damage, you know, kicking holes in the wall and shit like that, you know?
Right.
I mean, I did some pretty fucked up shit. Looking back on it, I don't think I would have ever actually hurt anybody, but I scared them, you know, for sure. So,
right.
Yeah.
And, is your, I guess.
My
you
older sister.
Dad, is your dad still around?
I have
still
a good relationship with him now.
Because you can kick his ass.
I dreamt about it so many times I wouldn't do it, but he has like come to me and apologized over and over again. And I confronted him as an adult and was like, why this, why that? In a peaceful manner. And last time, actually, I went with her. I cooked for him and my brother for Thanksgiving, and he just kind of came to me like off the side and was like, "Hey man, I really want to just say I'm sorry." And I was like, "Oh, it's all good, like whatever, man." He's like, "No, I want to say I'm sorry." So I think he's a good guy. There are certain things that I probably couldn't ever just like forgive him for.
Sure.
But I think people can, you know, do bad things and still be good people, you know. So
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many siblings do you have?
So I've got, my older sister died from lupus and rheumatoid arthritis when she was 26, when I was 22.
Damn.
So that's been a while. I've got a little sister, Fatime, who's also, my oldest daughter is named after, but we don't talk to her anymore. She turned into a fucking, like, Trumper and whatever, I mean.
Wow.
Kind of weird.
I like that. I like that your background is got some fucking,
right.
There's some shadowy times,
yeah,
in the past.
Definitely.
There is a limit, and
I think so. Yeah,
trumping,
right?
Is one of those things. You're
yeah.
Like, look,
I mean,
if you would have cut through the bone on someone's finger,
I know, right?
We'd
yeah.
still be friends.
Yeah.
But your love of Trump is too far.
It's true. And then I've got a little brother who we don't talk often, but when we do, it's always great. He's just a flaming homosexual that's back and forth. He's a journalist, and we always have a great time together. Yeah. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
He is basically in New York, and he goes back to Arizona. He's kind of like New York, Philly here, and Arizona, but I think he's starting to settle down in Arizona. Once again, he's writing for the Arizona Republic out there now, but he's written for a bunch of like big, you know, Rolling Stone, The Times, shit like that.
Oh, that's,
you know,
cool.
And so, but yeah, very, very gay, and I mean,
well, someone's very gay.
Very, I mean,
like he likes all the penises. What?
He writes some like outlandish shit. I mean, you know, he used to blog, and it was like, I think it was mostly bullshit, but he would just try to like throw in feces into his blogs wherever he could, and some guy shitting on his dick and blah blah blah. I was like, that didn't happen. You're just saying that.
You're just you're just trying to convince yourself of that.
But no, I actually think he exaggerates. I really do. But whatever. He's successful, so good for him. You know.
Yeah, that's hysterical. And so this is a half brother.
He's a half brother. Yeah. I never look at it like that, but yeah, he's a half brother.
Well, I'm just like, wait, if your dad died before,
so he's,
you were
he's
born,
half, he's half Persian.
Persian.
Exactly, yeah. So.
Wow. And what did dad think about that?
About him being gay?
Yeah.
Well, it took a long time for him to come out, and I think that my dad was pretty not accepting right off the bat. It took him years, maybe
yeah.
a decade.
The
and
Iranians
now,
traditionally aren't big fans.
No.
Of...
I mean, they still execute homosexuals
yeah.
in Iran. I mean, they absolutely will kill you for being homosexual. And I meet, when I go to Thailand, I actually meet Persians that go there just to, like, get a weekend away, and they're clearly gay. They're walking in a pack, and I'm like, oh, well, what's up, guys? I hear them speaking Farsi, and I start talking to them, and she's witnessed me making out with them and shit like that. And
wait, you're making out with the dudes?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
You know, whatever, for fun. But, yeah. You know,
listen,
so.
this explains really gay now as a statement.
Yeah.
It's like, look, making out with dudes is just, that's normal gay.
Yeah, that's.
But this, my brother makes out only with dudes.
I mean, I'm not gay. That's the thing. I'm just down for some fun. That's all, you know. So
when in Thailand.
Handsome guy, whatever, So,
do as the Romans do, as they
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. But to go back to Iran and to have to, like, go right back into the closet, I asked these guys, I was like, why? How would you do that? And they're like, it's just where we live. It's our home. But they come and let it all loose in Thailand for a weekend and go back and, like, you know,
just
put it up.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow, that's nuts. Yeah. What's the plan in terms of work from here?
I mean, this is probably the most boring part is that I'm, like, trading crypto and shit like that.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I do and, you know, made some good enough decisions. But I guess after Colombia, I'll probably – actually, I've got some voiceover work lined up. And
that makes sense,
hopefully
actually.
I will have a little bit of success doing that, you know.
That'd
be nice. So, yeah.
Yeah, you've got the base going. I could see that working out very well. All right, we're going to take a break real quick, and then we're going to bring Sarah over, and she'll ask some more questions.
Awesome.
And
okay.
We'll get to the bottom of more of this hijink.
Sure, okay, sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back.
Say hi to everyday people.
All right, we're back, guys. We're here with Matt Boyle, Stranger, hallucinogenic extraordinaire. This guy's lived, all right? We've had some real duds on this show over the years.
Oh, shit.
But
Over the years.
We haven't been doing it for more than a year.
No, we haven't. No.
First episode we did in 97, and we had some real losers that year.
Yeah.
It was straight to cassette tape back then. Then we sold them out of the trunk of a 1988 Delta Royale Oldsmobile. But yeah,
nobody's
we're here.
That reference at all? No.
People are like, what?
I just want to know, Rick. Do you foresee yourself doing hallucinogenic mushrooms with your daughter?
No.
In the future?
I can't. I can't picture myself doing them again.
Again?
Yeah.
You've done them before?
I did it when I was in my 20s and cool, and and I just don't think it's going to be part of the life again. I drank a lot then, and that typically led to whatever was available being like, yeah, we might as well do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was 20 in Kansas. I was like, what am I going to do? Not mushrooms?
And then, I know, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do there. And like, when you do this with your daughter, like, you said you guys went out.
We went out, yeah. We went and hit
this.
So
you don't do it in a controlled environment where you're like,
We would have. And but for me, I've literally got 25 hits of Molly that are in my suitcase that I'm taking to Thailand with me. And
this guy knows how to have a good time.
We're gonna have some fun for sure. But with my kids, no, I wanted to. Nobody wants to sit in your condo and just fucking look at the walls. It's not what you want to do. People say, like, go to the beach, go to nature. I just like to be around people. Mm-hmm. I like to be around any kind of
energy and
just some kind of external stimulation. Period. You know, mm-hmm. My daughter called me tonight. So she came by last night with her boyfriend and stole my last two chocolate bars, which are. They're 4 grams of mushrooms, so a little more than an eighth. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a fucking lot.
Yeah.
And so I talked to her for a half an hour tonight. I was like, okay, now just know this going in and call me if you panic and blah, 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 and be aware of this. Like, insecurities can come up and this shit can happen and blah, blah, blah. And there it is. It's worrisome. Like, when I took acid, literally, when I was 14, I was like, we had just dropped acid, and I was like, I could never have a bad trip. That just will never happen in my life. And my friends were like, oh, really? And they started fucking with me. And again, long story short, I 100%, without exaggeration at all, would have committed suicide. If I had a gun in my hand, I wouldn't have hesitated to blow my fucking brains out. I was paralyzed with fear, and there's all kinds of shit in the story, but that's the end. Where it's like, if I weren't paralyzed with fear, if I would have had a gun in my hand, I would have blown my fucking brains out without even thinking twice. So.
And that's a bad trip. And then, like,
that's
I don't
a bad
know.
Trip.
I don't know. How does that happen?
Your mind just starts going. Like, him saying that, I remember what set me off when I was at that Fish concert. this guy sitting in front of me, and he was kind of a friend. I would get weed from him sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
But he was very fat, and he started sweating. And I remember watching him being like, look how fucking gross this guy is. And at some point, it was probably three songs into the concert, he turned around, and he was like, how you feel? I feel all right. And then he literally puked all over himself.
Oh, God.
And I was like, I remember being horrified. And then he goes, I hope you feel half as good as I do. And I'm like,
Jesus.
Just watching vomit drip down his shirt. Now just has like that big wet stain and chunks and stuff.
Disgusting. Yeah. No, he sounds like a piece of shit.
He was a savage piece of shit. Yeah. And so then I after that, the rest of the night
how
was
ruined.
How
dare he be fat and sweaty for the record? And, seriously.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
It started bothering me at that point, but then
the vomiting.
Yeah. And then the smell of the vomit really is what got me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Do you have a greatest trip story or like a greatest, like, best high ever?
Best high ever. Actually, the week before I had that bad trip, same acid. I took three hits this week, and I was out of my fucking mind, and I was on two hits when I had my bad trip, or one even. I think I had one hit. But so I'm on three hits for my best trip. I'm with four or five of my friends. My buddy, who now has gone off the fucking deep end, like far off the deep end. And it started with this trip, you know, ended up getting naked and jumping fences and banging on doors and the helicopter coming. And we ran through this fucking park that was just filled with irrigation water, but it looked like a lake. So at the end, when he's running and trying to like, he's like, I'm down for a swim. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's fucking go. And everyone's like, Matt, no. Like he's naked and I'm fucking not. And I'm like, still got kind of my shit together. But I'm like just willing to go wherever anybody suggests, you know. But we watch the helicopters, fucking, you know. He keeps waiting for the water to get deeper, and it's like up to his fucking, you know, the top of his calf, and it's not getting any deeper. He keeps waiting to like dive in and swim, and they beat the fuck out of him. But that was visually for me. Those were the best visuals I've ever had. And when I did the mushrooms the other night in Puerto Vallarta. Those were the best visuals I've had since that trip. And it was a little, not scary, but I didn't want to be alone. I wanted to experience it with somebody, but I would absolutely do that again.
What kind of a life do you live where you're in Puerto Vallarta and then now you're going to Thailand? Like, what kind, like, how is that?
And then Colombia.
Colombia.
I sold the restaurant, and so I was doing okay before the restaurant, you know, and so I have a little cash, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's basically it. I have money to do kind of whatever I want, and Puerto Vallarta is not expensive, and Thailand isn't expensive, and that's basically it. I mean, I'm fairly frugal when I go out there, and enough, you know.
That's awesome. That was my question. That's
doesn't cost much. I mean, actually, it's way more expensive to just be here. Seriously, I live on the beach. I live on the beach. I live on Esplanade in Redondo Beach, and like anything within walking or driving distance is pretty expensive. So I don't really cook after the restaurant. I just stopped, you know. Mm-hmm. I just eat out, and that's fucking expensive. And it's a fraction to go to Thailand, which has amazing food from everywhere. The best Indian food I've ever had. Best fucking Napoli style pizza. I mean, they fucking do it right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just have amazing food out there, and it's just easy to go out there and have an amazing time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so you said you met your wife out there.
This is her. Yes. Okay. We are technically married. Yeah.
Your ex-wife, but that's not who you're with your kids.
No. Her mom. So their mom is in Salt Lake. She is, she's half Chinese, but she doesn't speak Chinese. She never went to China or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I took my kids to China for a month. I took them to Europe for a month. She's never really been anywhere. Good mom, solid, like, you know, the opposite of me.
Uh-huh.
So,
is she good Mormon? Balance.
She's not, no. Okay. She never was. But she, after we split up, she tried to, like, be born again and tried to, like, teach my kids about God and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it didn't last too long.
Yeah.
They just were like, no. We're
you
not
go, look, if they're going to believe in God, they're going to find it on one of these journeys.
Absolutely. Well, that was the deal. That was the deal from the beginning. It's like, hey, it's not our job to introduce God into their lives. It's his fucking job if he exists. Mm-hmm. And so they were pretty staunch atheists, I think, quickly, and she gave up, and now she's probably not that Christian either. I think she just gave up on the shit too. So
it's pretty easy to give up on the shit when you think about it. You're like, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah, I mean,
especially if you start as an adult, where you're like, wait, this wasn't even indoctrinated into me. I'm choosing to believe in
her. Well, her mom was like fanatical for a long time. Like, my ex-wife, she wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. She wasn't allowed to celebrate Halloween, anything like that. She walked in on us watching Boogie Nights at one point and was like, she was like, to me, she's like, Satan, Satan, Satan. And I was like, get the fuck out of my house, bitch. Yeah. Like, and that's kind of how that went down. We're cool now, but whatever.
But do your daughters live with you or do they live with her?
50-50, yeah.
Oh, 50-50.
They came here with me, and the stress of the restaurant made them go back with their mom, but they're still here with me 50% of the time.
And they're
time,
going to Thailand?
They can't. They're in school. But they will. I will meet them at LAX coming back from Thailand, and we'll go straight to Colombia. Yeah. So,
whoa.
So summer break.
Spring break, yeah.
Spring break, right.
Yeah. So, I haven't been anywhere in South America, you know, so that's very exciting. I didn't even know anything about Colombia. I started watching YouTube videos, which are all like, it's just like hordes.
Cartel.
Yeah. It's just whores and cocaine and
I'm booking a flight.
Fuck.
I gotta take my girls.
I had already booked the flight and I was like, man, I'm gonna like take them back and book another flight right the fuck back, you know, and experience what I can't but they also know who I am. Like, they don't give a fuck. It's like, if I bring some hot young chick along, I'm like, I asked them, I did. I was like, do you mind? What if I were to just have a couple of like hot young chicks that like joined the party? They're like, yeah, whatever.
Now, when you book a flight to go somewhere, do you book a hotel or do you just figure that out as you go?
I book that after the flight, and then I start looking at where I want to be. So actually, we're doing hostels this time. I haven't done hostels since I was young, but for them, for my kids, I think that is the way to go. I mean, they're teenagers. They look older. My twins that are my youngest that are about to turn 16 have like double D boobs and they just look like women. I mean, it is what it is. It's like they're not happy about it. Whatever. It looks very uncomfortable, but still. But they look like women, and I don't think they're going to have a hard time getting into bars with me and stuff like that. But just knowing how it was for me hitting the hostels in my late 20s and how accepting everybody was when everybody else is in their early 20s, it was just a cool place to be. Mm-hmm. There's only so much time you can hang out with each other in a condo by yourselves. Like, how much can I really entertain them? So I think hostels are the way to go.
They are cool for when you're not with your parents.
Bro. My kids love to party.
Different parents, I think. Yeah.
My kids love to fucking party.
My parents
for sure.
My parents are
no, I would not. I would not let them do Molly. But but also I can't.
But
control
that was
so
my
whatever,
thing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'll just go to Thailand tomorrow and I'll come here instead. Like, I'm like, that is not the way I travel. Like, that would have stressed
me
out.
I missed my flight in Puerto Vallarta to come back just a couple days ago, and that's just normal. I mean, actually, I texted her, and I was like, I fucking missed my flight. She's like, I knew it. That's just the way it goes, yeah.
So then you're leaving tomorrow. So, like,
we will leave tomorrow,
like, it's like, oh, fine, we'll just take the flight tomorrow.
Yeah, if they get me on. I mean, I hope so. They said they had 6 seats remaining, and I was like, all right, we'll try again tomorrow,
okay. Yeah. Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, I hope you have a good time.
Yeah, man.
I'll have a blast. I'm going to have an amazing time for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
He always does this.
Always. Yeah.
Okay. That's a different life, but congrats.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm glad. That's like, awesome. I wish I could be that.
Thank you.
De-stressed about blind.
Could.
I could.
Do you have kids or no?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 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 How
just
old?
A toddler, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm definitely not taking him to Colombia. He'll get kidnapped.
Where were you staying in hostels when you were younger?
I went to all over Europe. This is not younger. I was 28.
Oh, yeah. You said
literally. Yeah, I went to China for a month myself, and then I went to Europe for a month myself when I split up with their mom. Mm-hmm. And then I took them back, my kids, for a month at both places as well because I wanted them to experience what I experienced, you know? But yeah, all over. I mean, I went to like 8 different countries in Europe. So the big ones, I mean, Germany and France and blah, 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 all that shit, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, I was the older guy in the hostels and they were very accepting. We broke into the Colosseum. We fucking, like, I was there. Everybody got busted except for me. I'm the only one that got away.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
best hostels are in Switzerland, I think.
Switzerland? Yeah, I stayed in Switzerland for a few days. Actually, that was a terrible hostel experience for me. I was in a room with three other people, and this fucker kept snoring all night. And I had to put my headphones in to, like, drown out his snoring. And then he got pissed off that I was blaring my headphones, and I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, and he was going to kick my ass, so I turned my headphones off. But
whoa. Where was he from?
Eastern Europe, fucking Euro trash bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, my next door neighbors at my apartment are Russian, and they've called the cops on me 5-6 times for making noise. And now I'm like, call the cops, motherfucker. Who do you
think they're
going to
come?
You're bad people, Russians. You hear me? You hear me?
Who are they going to side with? They always side with me anyways. The cops love me. They're like, hey, do you remember us? Well, it's a guy and a girl that always come, and so she's there. The guy has a crush on her, the girl has a crush on me, and it's like, oh, yeah, sorry. Like, well, but they clearly there's some chemistry happening, and they don't do shit, you know. But the Russians next door, whatever, let them call the cops. I mean, now it's like, I dare you.
Yeah,
for sure.
So. You're not going to treat Matt like Ukraine. You hear me?
No.
You hear me?
How fucking dare. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, man. We
appreciate you guys.
It.
Yeah, guys, it was fun. Cool. Yeah, a lot of fun
nice
for sure.
Crazy fucking stories, man.
Tip of the iceberg, bro. Yeah, for sure. yeah. I'm still a stranger, technically. So if you guys, I know you don't want to repeat customers, but if you ever want me back, just
point,
let me know.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's more stories to tell.
So many.
I mean,
so many, bro. Bro,
maybe when he gets back from Colombia.
Yeah.
Anyways, thank you guys so much. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
appreciate it.
Is there anything you want to promote, or do you want to promote your socials or anything like that?
No, I don't really do anything like that. Okay. Anything you want to promote, Apple? I'll promote my daughter's sorority, Alpha Omicron Pi.
Did you say Omicron in there?
I think so.
It's part of
fucking yeah, I know, right?
All right.
Shit. Yeah, Alpha Omicron Pi. It's something similar to that. It's all Greek shit, whatever, yeah. But
sure.
Cal State Long Beach and
cool.
Yeah. So,
all right. Thanks,
great.
Man. We appreciate
of course.
It.
Thank
thanks,
you.
Guys.
Yeah. Great. Keep tuning in, guys, or whatever. I don't know if we even stopped recording, but
we did. It's all good.
All right.
Bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM IngramPod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to The Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.